A lot of people, when they hear hypnobirthing, they think hypnosis. Of course, it's the first thing they think. They think I'm gonna
Yeah.
like sit in front of them with like a pendulum and be like, watch it with your eyes. That is nothing like what we do with hypnobirthing. Hypnosis is a very normal state of deep relaxation that all of us reach multiple times throughout the day. If you've ever driven to like work or something and you arrive at work and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't even remember how I got here. You're like, I could have hit
Yes.
three cats and like four children and ran like a bunch of red lights and I wouldn't even know because I was so just in the zone. That's called highway hypnosis. The reason it's so effective for birth and teaching people how to go into that hypnotic state is because you are very relaxed in that state.
Welcome to the Learning to Mom podcast, Mom Friends. My name is Layla, and I inform first-time moms on pregnancy and birth so that they can be empowered and educated without feeling overwhelmed. I was one of the first of my friends to experience pregnancy, so I kind of had to figure out a lot of it on my own. So if that's you, then don't worry. Allow me to be your friend and give you the resource in your pregnancy that I wish I could have had in mine. Here you can get the answers to all your gazillion first-time mom questions without being judged, overwhelmed, or belittled. So if that sounds good to you, then let's get into it. Okay, before we dive into things, I just want to say thank you. I know I've been saying it a lot recently, but I've just been really blown away by the support and love that I've been receiving. This podcast has been like a really long time coming. Before I ever even launched it back in September, I had been starting to work on it a year ago. So at like last February, I was working on it, which is just kind of insane. And I think back to like 1 year ago, I was just grinding in secret, sending emails to these guests, pitching myself, like didn't even have a podcast yet, didn't even have cover art, and I was just trying to like sell my idea. And here I am a year later, and you guys are leaving the nicest reviews, sending me emails, DMs, like thank you. And I'm so freaking grateful too, because I remember what it was like to be pregnant and being the first one of my friends to be pregnant and just not having the resources and not feeling 100% satisfied with the podcasts that were out there, just because the topics was like, you know, from toddlerhood to babyhood to pregnancy back to toddlerhood. So I really do hope that this is serving you. And as a thank you for listening and supporting and sharing the podcast, I wanted to feature an episode review. And I'm going to be doing this for the next couple month or so, just featuring a review each week. This week, it's from Katie Dids in Fireflies, titled The Mom Friend You Need, which just makes me have a huge grin. Thank you so much. She says, first time prego. It's been less than a week and I've listened to almost all her episodes. It's reduced my anxiety so much and also opened my eyes to options I hadn't considered, such as birth centers. Thank you. Don't stop making these. You are so friendly and laid back and great at interviewing guests. Thank you so much. I know that it's not always super easy to like figure out how to write a review. So thank you so much for taking the time to write one and making it as amazing as that. I know I've talked about it before, but like I'm a one woman show and it takes a lot of time, honestly. Like this is essentially my only hobby. And some days I'm like, is it even worth it? And then I get a review like this and I'm like, it is. She literally said, don't stop making these. So it is worth it. So thank you so much for just encouraging me to keep at it even when it's really hard. Make sure you leave a rating and review wherever you're listening to this podcast on so that you can be featured on a future episode, even possibly next week's episode. So this week's episode, all about hypnobirthing, which is not like hypnotizing, which the guest will get into. So let's just dive right into things and get after it because we got a lot to uncover today. Hi, Brianna. Thanks so much for coming on to the Learning to Mom podcast. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
All right. Well, before we get into this, Brianna, do you mind just telling the audience a little bit about yourself and what made you start Heart and Womb Indie?
Yeah, for sure. So like you probably have already guessed, because I mentioned it, crying baby in my house. I do have kids. I have three kids. Probably just having kids is really what inspired me to move down the path of becoming a doula. I took a Dona training and just like have never looked back. So
That is so awesome. Give us the whole spiel, or I guess a short summary, not the whole spiel, but like, what is hypnobirthing and what are the benefits to it to for someone that has never heard of hypnobirthing?
Yeah, because we could talk about hypnobirthing for days. So I'll give you the shorter version. So hypnobirthing was created, or like founded, you could say, by Marie Mongan. She has since passed. She was like this the cutest little lady.
But it's like recent then.
Yes,
If
she it was created like the idea was created about 30 years ago.
Wow, I didn't realize it was that new. I guess in my brain it's like this ancient cultural ritual that just recently Americans have found.
Yeah, pretty
Okay.
much.
That puts it
And
in
I mean,
perspective.
when you think about it, well, something I love is there's a really cool video, and maybe you can link it and I'll send it to you and you can link it in the show notes. There was this really cool video by Marie Mongan where she was talking. She's like 85 when she's doing this video, and she's like, "You know, I've come to realize that I was a liar when I said that I founded hypnobirthing." She's like, "Because I didn't like find anything or create anything. I'm just teaching, reteaching women what they already know, like unteaching them from what the world has told them about what birth is
So
and what their
good.
bodies are capable of." And she's like, "That's the real problem with birth today. A lot of people, when they hear hypnobirthing, they think hypnosis. Of course, it's the first thing they think. They think I'm gonna
Yeah.
like sit in front of them with like a pendulum and be like, watch it with your eyes, you know, like stuff like that." Some people will think about hypnosis in the form of like stage hypnosis, which is what a lot of us are accustomed to, like that we see in,
Yeah.
you know, when we're going to high school or whatever, they'll bring those people on that make you quack like a duck and I don't know, like do weird stuff like sing lyrics and yell at people and things like that. That is nothing like what we do with hypnobirthing. Hypnosis is a very normal state of deep relaxation that all of us reach multiple times throughout the day. If you've ever driven to like work or something and you arrive at work and you're like, "Oh my gosh, I don't even remember how I got here." You're like, "I could have hit
Yes.
three cats and like four children and ran like a bunch of red lights and I wouldn't even know because I was so just in the zone, just driving."
That's me every
That
time
is
I go
actually
anywhere.
Yep, that's called highway hypnosis. So you've been going into hypnotic states every time you drive.
Oh
So
my gosh, this is already so mind-boggling.
So it's just a deep state of relaxation essentially. The reason it's so effective for birth and teaching people how to go into that hypnotic state is because you are very relaxed in that state. And also, when we are in a hypnotic state, we are able to bypass the critical factor that is in our mind, that is, like it sounds, critical of everything. You know, when someone compliments you, like, "Oh my gosh, you look so beautiful today." And you're like, "No, I don't. I didn't wash my hair. My eyeliner is kind of runny. You know, like I just rolled out of bed." We always have those critical things that, you know, fight against anything positive that we're told because that stems from deeply rooted beliefs that we have in our subconscious mind. So, because hypnosis so deeply relaxes us and relaxes our mind, we're able to access that subconscious mind and rewrite and change negative beliefs or deeply held ideas or belief systems that we have. And in hypnobirthing, that specifically applies to birth. That's what we're looking to rewrite, is our beliefs of birth. Because I tell my
Okay.
doula clients all the time, like, you know, if you're 25 or 30 years old, you've had 25 or 30 years of programming by the world to fear birth
100%.
and believe that you're incapable and be scared of anything, everything to do with birth. You
Yeah.
know, so it's a big job to rewrite that. And it takes more than just telling someone, "I believe in you, you can give birth," because every action, every feeling you're going to have when you go into labor, if you haven't rewritten that belief system, is going to be attacking your mindset. And your mindset is directly linked to your body and your physiological processes. So it's really important to do that deep work.
So hypnobirthing, it's not just like, oh, I'm going to show up on the day of my labor and I'm going to like be able to access this relaxful part in my brain and it's going to be great. It's like a lot of prep work.
A lot of prep work. Yep. It's a
Okay.
5-class course, and each class, sorry, is 2.5 hours long. And then we have a lot of homework that goes with it. We ask you to read the book. We have like daily like meditation tracks that you will listen to. There's an affirmations track, and then there's like a track you listen to while you go to sleep, and that's your homework for daily listening. And then we also have you practice actually relaxing, and doing practice work with your partner. There's a lot of homework. By the end of the class, like when we put the homework up on the wall, it's like 15 things that we want you to continue to practice.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, you have a lot of stuff to unravel, and just going to the class alone is not going to help remove that fear that has been programmed
Yeah.
into you.
And what's that class? Like, is that a national thing or is that with Heart and Womb Indie?
That is actually international. So I believe we're in, I think it's over 80 different countries, as Hypnobirthing International. Now, there are other hypnobirthing classes you can find that have kind of taken Marie Mongan's ideas and like branched off and made their own thing. Anytime you find something good, people always try to make things better or change it to what they like. So you'll hear about like hypnobabies, and different hypnobirthing courses that people have taken ideas from and then recreated their own. But we are like the
Okay.
original. And I say this with a wink because people are
The
listening. We're the OGs and we're still the
OGs.
best. So,
We're not biased.
not at
No.
all. But yeah, so it's international. Now, some areas might be harder to find classes in. Some places do offer like virtual courses and stuff. I know I'm the only hypnobirthing certified teacher in Indianapolis within like a 2-hour radius around
Yeah.
Indianapolis.
I
Which
believe that. Like, I know that when we were talking on our intro phone call, like, when I was trying to, it was so exciting that I found you because hypnobirthing doulas, just like instructors in the US, I feel like are far and few between. The people that I were finding was all like UK, international, and I was really trying to find like hypnobirthing here in the States.
It is a lot more rampant in, I mean, Europe is kind of ahead of us in a lot of things when it comes to the birth world.
Yeah.
Hypnobirthing being one of them, I think. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
I need to address something real fast, and I am interrupting myself to do so. So this past week, a listener wrote in to me and asked why I was recommending the Bisbee Baby Cuddle, which tells me if she is willing to send me an email and be like, yo, why are you recommending this product? Then others are wondering that as well. So basically, I love the Bisbee Baby Cuddle because it is portable. This is not a bottle warmer that takes up a huge amount of space on your counter that you can only use at home, which is why I love it and totally worth it to add to your registry or just get outright if you haven't added this to your registry already and you've like already had your baby shower or whatever. But this is not a typical bottle warmer that sits on the counter. That's what I'm trying to get at here. The whole like advantage to us using the Bisbee Baby Kettle is that when I'm not around, the caretaker, which usually in our case is either my husband or grandparents, are actually able to leave the house. They are not stuck at home waiting by the sink because we do the hot water trick at home to warm up the bottle. But because we have the Bisbee Baby Kettle, we now can actually just warm it up super fast because it warms breast milk and formula 2 times faster than any other warmer on the market, which is another reason why I really love it. But to me, the big like reason why I won't shut up about it is because it's portable. So our caretakers aren't stuck at home. They're able to take her to the park. Matthew is able to take her to the lake this summer with his grandparents because he's not stuck at home the whole time when I'm on a friend's bachelorette trip. It literally is about the same size as like a thermos. It fits very easily into our diaper bag and can be taken anywhere on the go. What's also super freaking awesome about Bisbee Baby that I have not shared before, at least I don't think I have, is that you can warm frozen breast milk bags in it. which is huge, because until you have experienced that, you do not understand how long that takes. But you can literally stick the frozen bag into the kettle and it warms it up. Just freaking amazing. Go to bisbeebaby.com, check it out. I have the white and gold one, and make sure you use MOM10 for 10% off. That's not an affiliate code. I don't get commissions from you getting 10% off. That's just so that you can get a good deal, because they don't have discounts elsewhere. So use MOM10 for 10% off at bisbeebaby.com.
We did just discuss kind of what hypnobirthing is as a whole, but could you go into the specific like benefits to it?
Yeah, for sure. So of course, hypnobirthing is, like you heard, like very different than a lot of birth classes. One of the biggest things that we do differently than other birth classes, we actually teach that pain is not a necessary part of birth and labor, which is really hard to find in any sort of education around birth, or even, you know, birth workers in general. They'll say like pain is necessary. Pain is going to be part of it. So like kind of just shut up
and accept it. That's true.
which I hate, because like we talk about in hypnobirthing, we talk about how, you know, your uterus is a muscle. It's actually the strongest muscle by weight in a woman's body, which is pretty dang cool. If a man had a muscle that cool, he would brag about it all the time. So we should brag about our uteruses. And also our uteruses are not the only muscle in your body that has to hurt when it's exerted. Like, name me another muscle that hurts every time it's used. Like, I'll wait.
Yeah.
Like, no other muscles. So it's like, why do we create this idea and this expectation that labor is just going to hurt, because your uterus is going to hurt when it does what it's supposed to do, which is a normal function. So I think what's different about hypnobirthing is that we teach you how to be relaxed enough so that you're not fighting and creating tension in your body and fighting against your natural function of your uterus. Because we teach that, that's one of the biggest benefits, getting back to your question, is lessened pain during labor, maybe even potentially a pain-free labor.
I heard that. I've heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I don't want to say that you will not feel your baby come out of your body, because people get that confused a little bit. They'll hear pain-free labor and they're like, oh, so my baby's just going to like fall out and I'm going to be asleep. It's like, no, not like that. Like, it's like taking a massive poop or like working out really hard, you know, running a marathon. Like, you're going to feel your body working hard. You're going to sweat. You're going to grunt. You're going to make noises. You're going to feel expansions. You're going to feel tons of pressure. You know, it's going to be a lot of stretching and opening for baby, but you're not going to be saying like, that was the worst experience of my life. That was so incredibly painful, you know, absolutely excruciating. All of the words people will use to describe childbirth. It won't be like that. Now, that's one of the biggest benefits, of course. And because of that, there's less a need and use for like anesthesia or epidurals. A lot of that, because there's less pain and there's more less tension and more like calmness in the labor, we're able to function and labor how we would normally labor, which means with lots of oxytocin and endorphins, which are their natural labor hormones. And because we have all that oxytocin flowing through our bodies, and oxytocin is what creates contractions with our uterus, then there's less a need for Pitocin, which is what causes contractions. It's a synthetic form of oxytocin that they use to augment labor. And so because there's, you know, your labor is progressing how it's supposed to, there's less a need for augmentation via Pitocin, other things like that. A lot more satisfaction with your birth, because it's less intervened. It's more hands-off. You're allowed to labor how you're supposed to. You're feeling all those feel-good hormones like oxytocin and endorphins. And because of that, then your labor progresses well. You don't have the what they call, my mind just went blank, the FTP, which is failure to progress, which is a big reason why a lot of people get cesareans today, because they're failure to progress. I did that with air quotes for those listening, which leads to cesareans. So there's lessened cesareans with those that take hypnobirthing courses. Your partners are a lot more involved. We focus a lot in our hypnobirthing classes on the role of your partner. It's not just to sit there and play on their phone or watch football, like media tells us. I always say what gets the baby in gets the baby out. So they have just as important role.
I love that.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. they have just as important role in the birth as they did in the creation of this baby. Soft touch, soft voice, protecting that space, keeping you hydrated, helping you keep moving, you know, telling you affirmations. There's so many things that your partner can do. And it's just a matter of teaching them what they need to do so that they can be that great partner for you. And they will walk away from that experience feeling so much better about the birth as well, because they were a part of it and not just a bystander. And it will bring you so much closer as a couple. Yeah, those are some of like the main, I think if I were to list the main advantages, those would be them. It's
awesome.
Just anything you can think of that a calm, relaxed labor would help you with
yeah.
and help you avoid, hypnobirthing does that.
Awesome. Now, we did talk about how it's not like being hypnotized. What are some other misconceptions around hypnobirthing?
Let's see, that you can't use hypnobirthing if you're getting an epidural or if you're getting a cesarean or things like that. I think that's a big one that I hear a lot. I actually had a client that just took my hypnobirthing class last time, and she is a doula client of mine. And she goes, well, I really want an epidural, so I don't really see the point in taking a birth class. And I was like, no, you need to take a birth class, especially hypnobirthing. Because even if you have an epidural, all that's doing is numbing you from, you know, the waist down. You still have all of these mind games you're going to be playing with yourself. No matter how relaxed your body is, your mind and body are one, meaning that one thing we teach in hypnobirthing is that everything that you think, you have a physiological response. Like,
so
you're always going to.
Yes. Yes. 100%.
It's inherently connected. I mean, it's one. It's not even just connected. It is one. I mean, you think about anything, you know, if you were to see a guy dressed in all black with a knife in his hand or a gun in his hand, like walk into your house in the middle of the night, like you're going to start feeling sweats, your hands are going to get clammy, you're going to be shaking. That's a physiological response. Or even, here's a better one. This one always makes people laugh in my class. You know, when you flick off the lights in your basement and go to upstairs, you know, there's no one in the basement, but you're still going to run like a bat out of, you can't help that physiological response, right? Same with like, you know, sensuality, right? You see someone attractive and you're like, ooh, I'm feeling some type of way. You know, what gets baby in there? It's the same way with birth. If you have an epidural and your nurse walks in and makes a comment to you about how you're really, really tiny, let's hope we can have a vaginal birth today. You know, just a side comment, you know, things like that. What's that going to do? It's going to immediately make you go, oh my gosh, can I not have like a vaginal birth? Am I like small? Are they worried about that? Is my baby big? And then you're going down this rabbit hole, and that fear is still going to create tension in your body that is going to cause tension in your uterus. So it's just as important to be calm and to be aware of how the body functions in labor and have, you know, techniques and skills to relax and to breathe and to focus just as much with an epidural or even a cesarean as anything else. So it is something that is very, very helpful. And also, you know, plans change, right? And in hypnobirthing, we have an affirmation that we always talk about that is, you know, I will remain peaceful and calm no matter what turn my birth journey may take. Because we know that, you know, you can't plan every nitty-gritty detail of birth. And so having something to fall back on and techniques that will help you stay relaxed and calm, even when things are going totally sideways from what you want, is always important. And it's something that we really lack support-wise when we go into our birth experiences is having something to fall back on to help keep us calm and assured in those times of stress.
Okay. Oh, all right. Well, I feel like you just cleared some of the misconceptions even that I had. And like, even one of the questions that I had for you, Brianna, was literally number 5, who should do hypnobirthing? And is it for all deliveries or only if you're having a home birth or a birth center birth? So you did kind of speak to the end of that. Regarding who should do hypnobirthing, I'm assuming you would say like everyone, or is it especially like, you know, what if you're a high risk?
Everyone. 100% everyone. And, you know, people will always tell me too, you know, they'll say, oh, well, I'm planning on getting an epidural. I don't need to learn stuff to be relaxed during an unmedicated labor. Like, why would I need that? And I'm like, you know, like 20% of epidurals don't work properly.
I did not know that statistic.
Mm-hmm. And now, like, function properly could fall into multiple different things. It could mean like it worked and then it started to wear off and they couldn't get it working again, or it never worked to begin with, or it only worked on one side of your body, or it gave you a really bad reaction and you were puking, or baby tanked and you had to be rolled back for cesarean. You know, that could fall into a wide range of not working. But depending on a medication to just get you an easy, like, laid back labor is not the way to do it, is what I tell people. Because, like, even if you're planning an epidural, I've had probably three or four clients who have had either bad epidural reactions or like it hasn't taken fully. So we're still doing like tons of like counter pressure and relaxation things because she's still feeling it, but she can't move now. So now I'm having to do like counter pressure while she's laying in the bed and helping her breathe through surges.
Oh my gosh, I've never thought about this.
Yeah.
Dang. Yep. Yeah, no, 20% is a lot.
Yeah, it is.
Dang.
And a lot of people don't realize that. Yeah.
I cannot imagine. Yeah, laying there because you cannot move. Like, you can't even go to your little yoga ball, or if you have a tub in the room, you can't go, like, oh my gosh. And two, so many women depend on it. So many.
Yeah.
Like, just, oh, I'll be fine. I'm going to get an epidural as soon as I'm admitted. And it's almost like a looking forward to it. Like, I'm not going to experience anything. Dang.
And plus, you know, sometimes you don't get the epidural as soon as you ask for it. I mean, I've been in births where an anesthesiologist might be in a C-section or might have like four other patients in front of you. So it's an hour and 45 minutes before you get it. And so having techniques to help you stay relaxed and help people be able to cope in labor is really, really important. I also tell people not to choose the epidural out of fear, you know, and I think that's a big reason why so many people choose the epidural is because they're just like, well, that's what you do, because I don't want to feel any of that pain. Like, that's horrible. Like, why would I want to experience labor at all? And in hypnobirthing, like we talked about, if we can remove that fear, we're not going to be feeling like excruciating pain. We're not going to be crying for an epidural because we're staying relaxed enough. So I'd rather encourage you to choose it out of necessity. And of course there is necessity. I experienced that with my third. And so there are times where like epidural is an amazing tool, but I never want people to choose it as their first option because they're so afraid of their body's natural functions. And I've had clients that have taken my class who are like, I'm getting the epidural, like, hands down, why would I do anything different? And then they take and they're like, oh my gosh, this is so crazy. I've never had anyone explain birth to me like this. Like, I didn't even know my body was capable of all this. Because we go really in depth. And so it's really empowering to learn like what your body is capable of. It's really beautiful.
That the what you talked about earlier regarding our perception of birth being around pain and just the work that we need to do to get over that or change that perception, I guess. I heard it said once and it's really stuck with me. And actually now thinking about it, I think it was from like a hypnobirthing account. And it was that, like, if you break your leg, like, that is pain. But birth is not something that goes wrong. Like, you are made for this. So it's not painful. Like, your body isn't doing anything that it shouldn't happen. Like, your leg should not break, but giving birth is not a should not.
And I like to kind of piggyback on that. Like, there is times where there's pain in labor, but usually, just like with our body, pain is a way of telling us that something isn't quite right. And so, like, people will experience what they'll say, like, back labor or back pain in labor. That's really common. About 60% of labors start with baby in the posterior position, which means baby's back is facing your back, which is not the most ideal position. It can cause back labor. So that's a sign that baby's in a not great position. And most babies won't be born in that position. They'll usually turn before they're born. Occasionally, you'll have a baby born sunny side up is what they call it. But that's one way that our body is giving us pain to tell us, okay, something's not quite right. Let's turn this baby. There'll be pain in your cervix if you start pushing too early and your cervix isn't ready to open for baby and to make that room. Different things like that. And really, you know, when you think about it, when your uterus is not wanting to open and make space and push that baby down and out and is creating tension in your uterus, that's your body trying to stop you from going into labor and birthing that baby. Because in the end, we're mammals. You know, if a deer is in a forest giving birth and a wolf stumbles upon the deer, her body's gonna be like, we ain't having this baby here. It's gonna try to stop labor as best as can, as best as it can. And your cervix is a sphincter, just like your anus. And so it is affected directly by how safe you feel or unsafe you feel. And so that cervix, as soon as it starts feeling unsafe, is going to stop opening. So what you're having is a uterus that's pulling up, trying to shorten and open that cervix, and a cervix that doesn't want to respond because it's scared. So that's what
Wow.
causes pain in labor. So when people say, my labor was freaking painful, it was excruciating, I'm like, I believe you. I believe you, because a uterus pulling on a cervix that doesn't want to open is painful. So I'm not negating that there is pain in labor. There is 100% pain in labor, but it is not the fault of your uterus. It's the fault of your providers. It's the fault of people making you feel safe. It's the fault of your environment. It's the fault of the fears and the programming that people have put into your mind about what your body is capable of. But it's not because your uterus just doesn't work properly, or that your uterus is the only muscle that just naturally has pain. It's a whole bigger picture than that.
Dang. This is so fascinating to me. Like, I'm not medical, nor have I ever really researched childbirth specifically, but like, didn't know that about the cervix and the anus. That makes so much sense. I never knew that. Wow. If you've been looking for Montessori-styled baby and toddler toys or even furniture, then let me introduce you to My Little Songbird, where you can find extremely high-quality baby gyms, climbing triangles, wooden activity walkers, teethers, and more. If you're a first-time mom, you don't know it yet that you're going to be looking for those things one day. So let me just tell you right now where you should order them from and why. My Little Songbird is your ultimate baby toddler shop. Not only are their wooden products extremely high quality, made from maple, pine, and birch wood, but their silicone products, like their teethers and shape stackers, are soaked in organic coconut oil, making it safe for baby to chew on. Not to mention that you'd actually want these toys in your house. They're extremely beautiful, high quality, and aesthetically pleasing. I'm gonna be honest, this is not just stuff that you can find from Walmart or Amazon. This is next level quality and design. My Little Songbird is one of a kind, and I love them so much. They're a family-owned business and really take pride in each of their products. Go check out mylittlesongbird.com to understand the hype. Their link is in the episode show notes below. Perhaps I should have asked this question earlier, but how does one like successfully hypnobirth? Like, I guess, what does it take to hypnobirth? Like, you're just sitting in a bubble bath or like having essential oils, and you're like,
Everybody is going to hypnobirth differently. There's no right or
okay.
wrong answer.
Interesting.
About 5% of the people that take the class will experience like deep, relaxed hypnosis, where they will just like lay there in labor and the baby will just like slide out. But I will say
Stop.
90
What did you say that
there's
percentage was? 5?
like 5%.
Oh my
Those are the very,
gosh.
very susceptible people that just are able to just full body relax. I've never experienced one of those that I've taught. But they do happen. There's actually a birth video we watch in class of this woman who's like at like 8 centimeters, and she's just smiling, eating her eyes, just hanging out. And you could like see the surges on like the little like monitor. Like they're like pretty decent long surges, and she's just like hanging out. So there are people that will experience like that.
Whoa.
Most people won't though, which is fine. That doesn't mean that, the 95% are going to feel like intense like pain or anything like that. It just means that their coping measures will look different. Most people will experience what's called like active hypnobirthing, which means that you're like in active hypnosis, meaning that you are going into a hypnotic trance with movement. That is the most typical one. It's like when someone is running a marathon, or just running in general, if you like running, you know how like you'll run like 5 miles and it doesn't feel like it took 2 hours, but it did, or however long it takes you. I don't know. I'm not a runner, obviously. But like people will talk about how like this the steps, like their feet hitting the pavement is like it's
No,
hypnotic.
this is hilarious, because that's what I was thinking about when you were saying people like can tune out in driving. And I was like, oh, I bet that's like what runners feel like. And in my mind, I'm like, cannot relate. Mm-mm.
Same. Same. Yep.
Let me tell you, running is not a relaxing exercise for me.
Yeah.
So
same.
That is hilarious.
But at this, I mean, at the same time, you would say it was really bad if a runner was running a marathon and completely tuning out like the sensations of their body, right? They're not like forgetting their body because they have to make sure their form is right, their feet are hitting the ground correctly, that they're not tripping over rocks and whatever else might be there. They're very in tune with their body and what's happening in their body, but they're finding a rhythm that is comfortable. Mm. And pacing yourself at any workout is really important. Just like, you know, I always compare birth to like HIIT workouts, right? Because you have like 1 minute of a surge and then you have like 5 minutes of break and then 1 minute of a surge and 5 minutes of break.
Yeah.
Workouts is the same thing. So finding your rhythm, and when those surges come on, the goal is that you're totally relaxing. You're taking the nice deep surge breathing that we teach in class. You're visualizing, you know, your uterus and your cervix working together perfectly, you know, your cervix opening just like it's supposed to gently. And you're going into that deeply relaxed state. And then between your surges, you're also taking full advantage of those 5 minutes. You're completely relaxing, you're breathing, and you're staying in that deeply hypnotic state of relaxation. Really, hypnobirthing is about staying relaxed in labor. That's like
but
the
wouldn't
most important
that be
thing.
Even when you're not in a contraction, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Making sure, because yeah, I was thinking like I would have a hard time just jumping right back into like my little hum mode. What I guess on this same line of this question, if every woman kind of experiences it differently, I guess how would hypnobirthing?
So, I mean, it really depends because every person is so unique. So like some people will be really quiet in labor and some people will be really loud in labor, and there's no right or wrong way to hypnobirth. Really getting down deep, like as the doula who's working with hypnobirthing clients, what I watch for is that they are breathing, that they are relaxing, and that they are making low noises. And the last one is that they are finding some sort of movement that is rhythmic. So maybe it's
okay.
So like every
yes.
time their surge starts, I just see them take we do something called signal breathing. I see them take a really deep breath. And then they'll go, and they'll be really low. And they'll be swaying or rocking their hips or moving back and forth on the birth ball. And their entire body is just super relaxed. And as a doula helping facilitate that deep hypnosis and relaxation, I am rubbing their shoulders, or I'm making the noise with them. Or if I see that their hands are really tight, I'll come by and massage them. I'll say, you know, release the tension in your hands. And it's watching the person as a whole. Because everyone labors differently, everything will look slightly different, but there are like a few basics that you'll watch. Is their body totally relaxed? Are they staying in control of their sound and their breath? Sometimes if I notice someone's getting really tense, I'll be like, where are you going in your mind when you're going like someplace during these surges? Like, what are you thinking? One of my favorite things to prompt clients to say to themselves is when they feel that surge coming on, to not think like, no, I can't do it. To think, yes, my baby is coming to me. Like, this is something good.
Aww.
And it's all, hypnobirthing is all about that mindset switch. And that's why it's such deep work, is because it's learning to embrace who you are and what your body's capable of and not be afraid of it. So it's pretty amazing.
The image that you just depicted of like the low hums and or the movement, all that stuff. Okay. I now actually have an image in mind. Okay. Makes a lot of sense. So how would you say you successfully hypnobirthed then? Just like you had a relaxful, a peaceful.
See, that's a hard one too, because once again, you can't box it. I think in the end, it's a birth. Because we talk a lot about advocating for yourself in class too. It's a birth that you can feel, that you feel proud of, and that you feel that you made decisions, whatever they had to be in the moment, that didn't come from a fear of your body and its capabilities and your birth, and instead came from a feeling of power and of of like pride and like what your body's capable of, and not being afraid of outcomes or not being afraid of sensations or anything like that. Because like we talked about, you as much as I encourage clients to make birth plans, and we talk about birth plans and preferences in class, you can't plan everything down to the T. You might really, really want a home birth, and baby might like, might plan it to be in the water on your home birth, and you end up having baby on the bed, and it like wasn't your plan. It was a small stray from your plan, but it wasn't exactly your plan. So just taking things as they come, and taking them with confidence and surety, in yourself and in your decisions, and being able to stay as calm and relaxed as you possibly can, and use those tools, inhibitive birthing, throughout all those changes and throughout the birth.
Interesting. Okay. Good to know. Now, what about when should women start practicing hypnobirthing? I guess when they sign up for this class, how many weeks along should they be?
It depends. I
And is
mean,
it ever too late?
it can be too late if you're like 38 weeks, because it is a 5-week
Okay,
course.
because it's so much.
I have had clients reach out to me with like a really short window, and so we've done private classes where we like jam pack like all the classes into like two classes, so you can do that. But really, so like if someone's listening to this at 38 weeks and is like, oh my gosh, I want to do this but I'm too late, it's never really too late. But there is an ideal time, which I would say is anytime after finding out you're pregnant. I mean, like, I've had people take the class at like 10 weeks pregnant. Because really, like we talked about, it's you've had all this programming for years. Why not give yourself all the months of pregnancy to prepare your mind and your body, to really embrace birth head on? So I really try to encourage my clients to not take it any later than like 30 to 33 weeks, so we can get through the full 5 weeks before their birth. But the earlier they take it, the more time you have to practice, because there is daily practice.
Awesome. And then also, what materials or equipment is needed to hypnobirth?
I mean, nothing, you don't need anything.
Awesome.
I mean, like, I provide materials in class. I provide the book and the audio tracks and a parent's handbook that has like a cheat sheet for dad, basically, in it. It's like what to say in labor, what to do in labor, positions to try, like support measures to use, which is really awesome for dad. But I always tell my moms, I'm like, you could go give birth in the middle of the woods right now by yourself, because everything you need is inside you. And that's really what we're teaching in hypnobirthing, is that like we talked about, your body is magical, like birth is magical, and you are a magical being. And what you really need is to be untaught all the crap that the world has told you about what birth is. And so really, you can birth by your freaking self with only you, and you could do it and have a beautiful hypnobirth, because hypnobirthing is just birth and its natural form, and just leaning into that.
Is there anything that we perhaps didn't talk about regarding hypnobirthing today that you want to make sure people know, or like a story or a little plug for hypnobirthing, anything at all?
I would say probably the biggest thing is I mean, we deserve to have peaceful and beautiful and calm births. The world has lied to us. Men, not to blame men, but I'm going to blame men, because men took birth out of the hands of women a few hundred years ago, and we deserve to have that back. They took it out of the hands of midwives and ourselves, and have force-fed us lies that we are not capable of birthing our children, and that birth has to be horrible, and that we should just suck it up and let it be horrible. And I don't believe that for a second. We deserve to birth our babies in peace and love, and have empowering experiences that help us bond with our children and bond with our partners. And we freaking deserve that. And it's within our grasp. We just need to do the work, and it's a deep internal work of coming back into ourselves, and not only embracing our body's capability for birth, but also, to get a little weird, because people get weirded out by this, but like our sexual bodies, which has been majorly repressed and majorly taken over, which is a whole other conversation. But birth and sex are both things that are intrinsically connected. One's the result of the other. And so really learning to love ourselves once again and love what our bodies are capable of. And hypnobirthing really gives you the tools to do that. That's why I teach it. But in the end, like, just investing in your birth experience, like, you could not choose a better thing to invest in. There was a study that was done that found that your birth experience is one of the last experiences that women with Alzheimer's remember, is the birth of their babies and their
Whoa.
children. Yeah. And so invest in that, because obviously it's important, and it will affect a lot of your lives and your bonding with your children, and it's worthy of your investment and your time. So I guess that's my only plug.
Well, that's really good. Only plug, as you said, like 12 things. That was all so impactful. I feel like it's like you could put all those things on posters. Dang, that was so good. I love how just pro woman this is. Like, after you said that quote from the founder, and then what you just said about like taking birth back into the hands of women, I'm like, we freaking rock. Like,
We
I
do.
am so proud to be a woman. I love it. This is awesome. I love how pro woman this is. Well, I so appreciate you coming on today. This was amazing. I want to make sure that people know where they can find you.
Okay. So you can find me on my website. That's probably like the most simplest way. It's just heartandwomb.com. And from there, you can find out more about my classes. You can read about me as a doula. You can reach out to me to book a free consult, all that goodness. But you can also find me on Facebook, also under Heart and Womb Indie. And on Instagram, it's heartandwomb.indie is my Instagram. You can also email me. It's heartandwombindie, all one word, at gmail.com. But yeah, I love to answer any questions and love to connect with people on all platforms. So if you have questions or just want to reach out and say hi, go ahead.
Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of the Learning to Mom podcast. Don't forget to leave a rating and review, and I will catch you again next week.